Hello and welcome to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Circle Podiatry, and it's my aim to raise your awareness of just how important your feet are, to give you the solutions to your foot and leg problems, and to teach you how to prevent future problems. So grab a cuppa, relax, sit back and put your feet up, and enjoy learning about the one part of your body that often gets forgotten. That's right, it's your feet. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. Thank you so much for giving up your time listening this week. And I think you're going to be in for a treat. I know you're going to be in for a treat. We've got an amazing show ahead of us. Some tunes that are guaranteed to make you feel happy. In fact, there's one from ABBA there, so you're going to enjoy that. And of course, a wonderful interview as well. From a really, really impressive doctor who is going to share some great thoughts. All of my guests these days seem to be so generous with their time. So we're going to go straight into our initial song prior to the main interview of the day. And the interview will take us right through to the final song as well. So we've got loads in store for you. A great person we're interviewing, a vascular surgeon, top of her game, really going to be able to help you understand about vascular issues. So really looking forward to having this interview out there for you to benefit from. Before we do that, we're going to listen to a song, and we need a bit of this at the moment in the way the world is at the moment. We need to be happy, and the song is called Happy, and it's by Pharrell Williams. I hope you enjoy it. By the way, huh. That was Pharrell Williams and Happy. Hope you enjoyed that song. Well, it's time now to get our guest of the week on. And our guest this week is Dr. Stella Vig. Welcome to the show, Stella.
Well, it's great to have you on here. Just wanted to start out, first of all, just by asking you, really just what sort of a day you've had today and what sort of a week you've had in your clinical practice, because it must be a pretty challenging week. You know, we're doing this on a Friday evening, and I really appreciate your time. So what's your week been like? Has it been good, or has it been a shocker?
I think it's probably been like yours. It's we're playing catch-up, aren't we? You know, COVID hit, and we had to look after patients with COVID, not really knowing what that meant, and everything else got put on hold. And we managed the emergencies, but actually everyone else who needed healthcare was actually put on hold for 3 months. So we're all playing catch up. So clinics are busy, theatres are busy, and sometimes we're seeing patients that we probably should have seen about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it just feels that no matter how hard we work, it's wading through treacle. We're just about keeping up. So, you know, that message, Peter, that, as you know, right now, if you need healthcare, you need to come and get it. Yeah. Because we're open for business and we're ready to help, but people need to not be scared about coming to hospital or coming to podiatry clinics or vascular clinics. You know, just come and see us if you need to see us.
Absolutely. Well, let me just tell them who you are, first of all, so they know who they're going to see. You could be talking as a dentist, or you could be talking as whatever. Stella, this is Stella Vig, Dr. Stella Vig, and she is a vascular and general consultant. She is and surgical educator as well. She's the clinical director of Croydon University Hospital, which happens to be where two of my kids were born, by the way. So that's good. And you oversaw the development of Croydon University Hospital's Diabetic and Vascular Wound Care Department Centre, which has since seen a reduction in amputations. So you've obviously done a fantastic job of overlooking that. So that's what we like, reduction in amputations. You're also the co-founder and chair of London Diabetic Foot Care Network, won numerous awards. I'm not sure of all of them. I noticed that there's one called a Silver Scalpel Award, which I assume is to do with surgical ability. But also you won the Mentor of the Year in 2015 for the London NHS Leadership Academy. So obviously you are you're giving back to the profession and helping others. So that's a fantastic thing to be doing. So welcome to the show. You're more than qualified to be here tonight to talk to us. So thank you.
It's a privilege to be invited. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so just to go a little bit into the lighter side of the evening, I asked you beforehand, because I also do a radio show, as you know, and I'm hoping this will go on the radio show. But I asked you about a couple of your favourite songs. Tell them who that was, Stella, and why you chose it.
Do you know, there's a fantastic film called Happy Feet. Yeah. And that song by Pharrell Williams came out in the summer. And as soon as you listen to it, you have to be happy. It's got such a great beat to it. And I think this year has been so, so hard for everyone that I have to confess that my Heart FM have a Christmas channel, and it's already live. And I have to tell you, my radio is tuned into Heart FM Christmas, because I think we're all looking forward to the end of this year and the summer rays of next year, and actually life being somewhere back towards being normal. But I think the difficulty for a lot of people at the minute is keeping their mental states in that happy zone. Mm. It's been really tough being locked away for some people. It's been really tough. You talk earlier about mentorship and giving back to the profession. Actually, it's a self-help mechanism, because, you know, a patient who says thank you to you, or a junior doctor who learns from you and actually comes back and tells you they've progressed, or a colleague, actually that gives you that positive energy that you need. And I think a lot of us are social animals, and we've really struggled with that positive social interaction, and actually giving someone a cuddle or a hug or, you know, a peck on the cheek. So play Happy. It just gives you that little, even if it's 5 seconds, just that little bit of a vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you choosing that one. Too often, when I say choose something which is to do with the topic, or you're just your favourite, and quite often, especially if it's me choosing, it's often something that's got some sort of The other one, let me come to it. The other one that you chose ABBA, but you let me choose the song. So I chose, I tried to get a link with things. I chose Knowing Me, Knowing You. That's the way it is, isn't it? It is that way, isn't it? Yes. And I thought that was relevant to topic tonight, but also just generally to with diabetes and what have you, because I think it's really important that you actually know the disease that you are under the grip of, if you like, with diabetes or with vascular disease, but also you know yourself as well. And I talk about the diabetes sweet spot. I talk about knowing generally and also knowing your own risk. So knowing me, knowing you, that's why I chose that one. But I'm not gonna play any of that one. So. Otherwise, you won't have any time for all the really important questions that I've got to ask.
And I think ABBA tells you how old I am. But I think that conversation about knowing yourself is actually really important. And, I, you know, we often hear, I'm hoping we don't often hear as much, but we still continue to hear that when patients go in to have their feet checked for that diabetic foot check, you know, we still hear stories of people doing the foot check without taking people's socks off. Yeah. And you can't possibly check someone's foot without doing that. So the other conversation is often that, you know, patients will go in and they're quite scared to ask, well, you said I'm low risk or medium risk or high risk. What does that actually mean? Mm. What can I do to protect myself? I think patients are very scared of asking those questions. And I think if you know your body and, you know, we only have one chance at life, you know, within our own world. So, you know, as a patient, you must ask, so you've done that and that, why have you done it? What does that mean? What can I do about it? Rather than just being in the hands of medics, you know, it's your body, it's your life. You should be empowered to manage it really, really well. And I think that's not just for feet, that's also for diabetes.
Yeah, absolutely. You get a new car, you know, especially if it's a nice, posh, I don't know, Ferrari or whatever it might be.
I
wish as well. You get a new car and you want to make sure that you want to know if there's something wrong with it, and you want to know also just how to look after it and what have you. And yet our bodies, we just sort of we just put up with them sometimes and don't make that effort to know.
But so, you know, Peter, I was going to say, but you know, one of the innovations, so COVID's been awful for a lot of people, but one of the innovations in during COVID is that I think we have empowered patients to look after themselves better. So if you think about podiatry, patients who had acute foot problems obviously still had to come. But the patients with high risk that we've normally managed and actually seen on a very regular basis, we've almost divided that group into patients who really truly have high risk, and then people who've got medium high risk and low high risk. And actually we've encouraged now carers and patients to actually look after their own feet. But with that video touch point and the support of the podiatrist to say, if something changes, come and see me. But otherwise, I'll keep an eye on your foot from a distance. We'll keep you safe from COVID, but actually we'll keep your foot safe as well. And I think that's been a very interesting innovation, I'm sure for the better for patients.
I think it will be as well. You know, definitely. Yeah, you know, if you've got somebody 24/7 that's living with the person, pretty much, as long as they don't get blasé about it, as long as they
continue
to see the importance, it's going to work well, and it'll free up your time, and hopefully you can deal with all the really urgent cases. So good.
But I think for patients also, it means that they don't have to travel and come to hospital. Actually, you can be having a cup of tea at home. You finish your cup of tea, you go into your appointment, and then you're still at home, and that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, yes. Brilliant.
We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
shields like masks are top of mind right now. But did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So thank you for listening, and let's continue with the show.
So you've been a surgeon. We won't go into how long you've been a surgeon for, but tell us a bit about your journey, just briefly. Where do you come from? What do you look forward to as you go into work?
Well, apparently I've always wanted to be a surgeon. So this little precocious 5-year-old apparently always wanted to be a surgeon. But as I went through training, surgery was the bit where you can do something and it works really quickly, and you see the result really quickly. And I love that. But the reason for vascular surgery is you really get to know your patients really well. So I've now been a consultant at Croydon for 17 years, but I was also a registrar there. So probably been at Croydon for about 20 years altogether. And there are families now that I've known their, you know, grandmothers, and I've known their parents, and now I've got their children, because of course diabetes runs in families. And you get to know your patients really, really well. My day job now is very mixed. So it is surgery, but it's also, as you say, being one of the senior managers, and I'm still a trainer. So my life at the minute is wonderful, because I don't never quite know what's going to happen when I go into work, but there's always a challenge. And that's the bit that I love, really, of my job.
OK, you like something to get your teeth into and a challenge. Brilliant. OK, but let's talk about some of those challenges, maybe. Please tell the viewers, you know, what are the main effects on the feet regarding vascular issues? For people with and also without diabetes, because of course, you know, it's important for people to realise that actually you can have peripheral arterial disease, and then you can develop the diabetes. What are some of the effects on the feet?
So I think you're right, because Peter, we often talk about the diabetic foot, or the patient with diabetes who has a foot problem, and I think we've got a really good support network for those patients. But I think where we don't have as tight a network is for patients with renal disease, who, of course, can have dreadful arterial disease, and, you know, spend a lot of time, many of them, in dialysis units. But actually, we don't look after their feet as well as we look after their kidneys. And then, of course, we have patients who have structural change to their foot. So a Charcot foot, or actually just that you're born with a foot that's slightly different to everyone else's. So the question is, how do we look after all those feet together? And the best way we can manage those feet is by not getting them into trouble in the first place. Mm. So, and that's simple things where, if you're a young person and you've been diagnosed with diabetes very early on, do you know, those conversations about amputations and losing toes and whatever, they're not relevant, because it's not going to happen to you because you're young. But of course, we all get old, and you and I in the same category. We all get old and things change as time goes on. But there are simple things like making sure you cut your nails properly, making sure your footwear fits properly, that you do get into the habit. You know, you wash your face every morning and every night, and you brush your teeth morning and night. You should be checking your feet day and night. And sometimes you talk about people feeling that something's different. Now, that might not be a feeling in the foot. It might be a feeling in your body. So you feel like you've got flu coming on, or something's not right. If it's not right, you're right as a patient. If your body's not feeling right, something's not right. Just ask for help. Sometimes you can see something that's different. But of course, if your eyesight's not great, or you've got neuropathy, you're not going to be able to feel that or see it. And actually, physically, you might have to run your hand across your foot to feel that something's not right. But you really need, you know, that conversation you had at the beginning about ABBA and knowing me, knowing you, you've got to know your feet. You've got to know how they feel, what they do, If they feel swollen in the foot or you've got some blood inside your shoe, there's something not right. So the more we can prevent, the less we have to be those superheroes that come in and rescue you. Let's be superheroes and stop you getting into trouble in the first place.
I suppose that goes back to what you were saying about having the lower urgent cases, the lower high risk, and having people involved. I think everyone should have, you know, every person with diabetes should have somebody, I call it in my book, a sweet spot buddy, somebody who is going to be love them enough to keep an eye on them, encourage them, but also challenge them from time to time as well. And I think you've highlighted some really important things there. You know, the eyesight is often affected in diabetes. You can't feel, you can't see. Well, how are you going to know that there's something not quite right?
Absolutely.
And again, technology, you could maybe take a photograph and send it to your loved one on the other side of the world to double check what's going on there. Maybe that's perhaps something that might be helpful. You touched on the fact that, you know, you might be born with a different shaped foot, or you might have a problem there, so, and then also you might develop vascular problems. And I know that David Armstrong, who I've got on tomorrow night, by the way, him and Joseph Mills coined the phrase toe and flow, and how when somebody comes in with a problem, they get either pointed towards the toe team or the flow team. And I think that, if I'm right in saying that, Pradeep is part of your toe team up at who we had on earlier in the week. But you're definitely the flow team. So trying to get the flow back. Somebody's coming into you. Obviously, they're in quite a bad state, I assume, by the time they get to you. Before we get into actually what you're going to do to try and help them, what might they have experienced had they got the eyesight to see their feet, or had a friend, a loved one, seen their feet? I posted a picture before this of a colourful sock, saying, "Are keep your feet colourful." That can be taken in many ways. You know, what colour do you want your feet to be? What are some of the things that people could look out for that might alert them to the fact that actually they do need to be coming in to see somebody like you?
So the colour conversation is an interesting conversation, because, of course, if you're Caucasian, it's very easy to see a change. So a purplish bruise, or, you know, a little bit of necrosis where actually the skin starts turning darker and then actually sometimes black. And of course, when you get gangrene, it is black. But of course, if you've got skin that's my colour, or you are you have more pigmented skin, actually those colour changes are really difficult to see. Mm. And again, it's just, it goes back to the same conversation as before. If your foot is not the same as normal for you, we like to, so David talks about the toe and flow team, and we talk about the foot attack. So, you know, the team that we have is Pradeep Solanki, who was on the other day, is our podiatrist, our senior podiatrist, and he's got a whole team that works with him. I'm a vascular surgeon, so, you know, we work in a team that revascularize. But of course, our radiologists are fantastic at angioplasty, and there's a whole team that work together. Mm. But what we talk about is patients having a foot attack. So if your foot is not normal for you, and that might be because it feels slightly warmer or slightly more swollen, or there's a color change of whatever type, and that might be more of a blush or red because you've got infection, or it might be that it's paler than normal because you've lost your blood supply. Any change means that really you should be putting that flag up and saying, I've got a foot attack, I need help. Just as if you had a heart attack or a stroke. If you had a heart attack, you would go to a heart attack center because you need that sorted out very quickly. Mm. If you have a stroke, everyone knows that you follow the FAST guidelines. You go in and get it treated quickly. And it's the same with the foot. If you have a foot attack, go and seek help quickly. It's really, really important.
Yeah, quick. I always stress, as quick as you can. You're not wasting anyone's time. No. Even if it's a false alarm, it's the doctor that you see is going to be glad it's a false alarm.
And the dramatic conversation, Peter, you know, is always, are you going to lose your leg? But actually, even losing a toe can make a difference to someone in terms of how they feel. If you're, you know, Asian, you often take your shoes and socks off if you go to the temple or the mosque. And actually, you may not wish to do that if you've lost a toe. So actually, it changes your confidence. It may not change your walking, but it will change your confidence, and it may stop you interacting socially in the way that you did before. So actually, if you get there quick and we stop you losing a toe, gosh, that makes a big difference to people as well.
Okay. I think we're putting the scares on people right now. Let's talk about some of the positive stuff about what you can actually do for them to try and prevent that from happening. Because I know that you guys do some amazing work at, again, not, don't want to coin all David's terms. I'm sure you've got your own terms as well. But, salvaging a limb which would otherwise be lost. That's basically when they come to you, that's what you're trying to do. What are some of the interventions at the various stages that somebody might expect to have?
Well, Peter, you know, it was early, interesting earlier, you were talking about the diabetic foot service that we've developed at Croydon. And when I first started 20 years ago, our wards were full of patients who had diabetes who also had foot complications. And by the work that's been done by the Croydon team over time, and we're associated with St. George's Hospital, which is our vascular tertiary referral centre, what we found with time is the number of patients that are actually inpatients has gone down, our major amputations have gone down, and our minor amputations have gone down as well. So the toes that we lose have gone down too. And that's because we're intervening earlier. So what does that mean? That means that if you're a patient with what we call claudication, which is it feels like you've played football and you've got really bad cramp in your calf. If you have that when you're walking, go and ask for advice, because we may not need to do anything to you, but you probably should be on something that thins down your blood, keeps your cholesterol low. We'll definitely tell you off about your smoking and try and help you as much as we can. It's really hard, but we need to help you stop smoking if we can. And if we can get your blood pressure down and get you exercising, get you possibly to modify some of your lifestyle choices. Actually, we can add years to your life. We can reduce you the chance of you having a stroke, reduce the chance of you having a heart attack, reduce the chance of you having a foot attack, and actually increase the chance of you having a really healthy life that actually with grandchildren and all the things you want to do, that you live well. Because of course, Peter, you know, people aren't dying at 60 anymore. People are dying at 80, 90, 100. And actually we've got a lifetime to go. So let's stay well in that later aspect of life. And if you do have a problem and need to have treatment, we can do angioplasties, which is opening up the artery with a balloon. We can do operations on you. We can do all sorts. But actually the number of people that need that bit, it's almost like an iceberg. The people we see in hospital are the tip of the iceberg, but underneath it, there are so many people that we can keep well without doing the superhero stuff.
Well, I guess that a lot of those are people that are going to come in and see people like me out in primary care. They're going to be the ones that have not developed to quite the degree of needing your services yet.
Exactly.
So there's probably quite a lot of podiatrists watching this tonight. So just share with us what, when should we, so because we know, we all know with diabetes, if there's an open wound, send them off to the MDT as soon as possible. You know, get them out of our private clinics. it's wrong to hold on to them, even though the patients sometimes, oh, please see me. No, off you go to the hospital. At what point, because I do Dopplers all the time. I had somebody in just last week who I referred on. But just share, at what point should we be thinking, you know what, absolutely, this person needs to go in? Is it just when they are monophasic? Because I mean, when I first was starting out with a Doppler, it was like, oh my goodness, you're biphasic. So, you don't want the biphasic ones, unless there's irregularities, etc. But what do you want from us? Who do you want from us?
Well, Peter, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we talk about the podiatry team, but of course, these patients are also cared by primary care, by general practitioners, by your GP. And if you're a patient who has diabetes, you're also having your health check. So your blood pressure and, your walking distance and your cholesterol and all these things are being done. So actually, there's quite a lot of patients who will already have been picked up by the GP. So where you're listening to a Doppler and actually finding that they've got a problem with their blood supply of their leg, actually a lot of them, the GPs, will already have found a problem with their blood supply of their that puts them at risk of a stroke, or that they have already got cardiac disease, or, you know, problems with their blood vessels of their heart. So actually a lot of these patients have already been picked up. So if a patient's not symptomatic, so they're not having claudication, but actually you're examining them and they've got a pulse that's not quite right, actually if they're already medically managed, we're probably not going to do very much else apart from encourage them to exercise. Podiatrists can do that within their surgery. As you're managing their feet, that conversation about what their lifestyle is like. If they have not been picked up by anybody at all, and this is brand new patient with diabetes within your clinic, I would say to you, it's really unusual that the GP has not done a holistic overhaul of that patient, overview of that patient. So if you've got a patient who's symptomatic and they have claudication as well, it would be great to see them. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean by a vascular surgeon. As you know, we've got colleague podiatrists who are managing claudicants in primary care. But if they've got rest pain, which is pain every night that's causing trouble, or pain in the daytime that's causing trouble, but it's every night, a patient who can struggles when they walk, worth us having a look at them. But I don't think a monophasic Doppler signal, if they're already well medically managed, means automatic referral to vascular. But it does, it is worth that double check just with primary care to say, senior patient in clinic, they seem to have a monophasic pulse. Are they maximally risk managed? And would you consider referral on?
Okay. You've used a term there which some of the listeners probably don't understand, which is claudication. Can you just explain? I know what it is, but can you just explain for them what it is?
It's a wonderful word. It comes from the Latin claudare, which is to limp. And that's exactly what happens. So you will start walking and you feel absolutely wonderful. And then as you walk, and depending on the blockages that you have in your leg, at a certain distance, you'll find your calf muscle starts to seize up. And then you walk a little bit more and it just stops. And it's interesting. I went on holiday and there was a very, very steep hill. And I know I claudicated and I felt it for the first time. It is awful. So when we talk to patients, they walk through it. You can't walk through it. So, but you get this really bad cramp in your calves that stops you from walking. And what you do is you stop. Patients look in the window pretending that nothing's going on because they don't want anyone to know that there's a problem. Or they'll sit on a bench and give it a couple of minutes and then they'll start again and they can do the same distance and they come to a standstill again. And they find that when they go up a hill, they're much, much worse. In the summer, they're normally a bit better. In the winter, or when it's cold, just gets a little bit worse. If patients are experiencing that pain, that's what we call claudication. And if you have claudication, absolutely worth being reviewed, because there are so many things we can do to stop that from getting worse.
That's what this this patient the other day was, I found had got monophasic pulses on the one foot. So I referred her fairly quickly on for that. Okie dokes. Okay, so we've talked about some of the procedures that you do. What are the success rates pretty good? You're bound to say yes.
No, actually, they're actually not bad. I think you've got to choose the right patients. But I can tell you what makes a real difference. If you've got someone who's smoking and you do a bypass or you do an angioplasty, you can open the blood vessel up and of course you can improve things, but they don't last as long as someone who is not smoking. Because of course, when we do an angioplasty or bypass, we're not changing what was happening already. We're not stopping you having a blockage. All we're doing is opening up the problem. And then, of course, you carry on smoking and then it blocks again. So what we do well. We have to choose well. We have to choose our patients well. We have to choose the right thing to do. But for the right patient, the right technique, it works well. But there are things that patients can do that also will help. And smoking, honestly, I know it's hard. I wish we could ban it. I really wish we could ban smoking. It would make such a difference to people.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Anyone who has diabetes or PAD. Yeah.
Please stop smoking.
We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So thank you for listening, and let's continue with the show.
Just going back to claudication for a minute. People who've maybe got neuropathy and may not actually feel that intenseness, does it stop them walking anyway because it's just cramping up the muscle? So they have to stop. So if they're finding they have to stop, even if there's no pain, is that the score?
So often neuropathy just affects the foot.
Okay.
And so they will still get that intense pain in their calf, but they won't get, and it when you claudicate, you don't get pain in your foot, you get pain in your calf. So some patients will come in and say, actually, when I walk, I get pain in my foot. Do you know, often they have what we call plantar fasciitis, which is a really awful sensation on the bottom of their foot. Or they have, you know, a problem with the structure of their foot, and they're slightly flat footed. And there are often, well, I'm telling you how to suck eggs, Peter. There are often reasons, often reasons for having foot pain that are not related to vascular disease. So claudication typically is in the calf. If patients truly have what we call rest pain, you can see there's a difference in the foot. It looks paler. It feels tight. It feels really uncomfortable. And at nighttime, patients often will get out of bed and put their foot to the floor because it's just better when blood flows down, of course, than when your foot's in bed and your foot's up. So two slightly different things. You will claudicate. You will get pain in your calf when you walk. If you get that, that's a signal you need to be seen. But if you're truly getting pain in your foot and it's not going away, time to see someone like yourself, a podiatrist, or go and see your GP.
Great, brilliant. We've talked a lot here about peripheral arterial disease and problems, and I know there's all sorts of other vascular issues with veins and all sorts. But I think because we're talking diabetes, and I know it's not necessarily the foot, but we want to save lives as well as feet. Cardiac risk. Can you just touch just briefly on that, and particularly, you know, the whole thing about silent heart attacks and stuff as well?
So if you think about it, we've got one plumbing system going all the way through our body. And so if you've got a problem with, you know, something the size of my thumb, well, the blood vessels around your heart are the size of the tip of a pen. So if you've got enough kettle fur to block up my thumb, the risk of you blocking up your heart obviously is there. So the medication that we give you actually protects you from, as I said before, having a stroke or having a heart attack. And you're actually at a much higher risk of having a stroke or a heart attack than you ever are of losing your foot. So we've got to look after our bodies. And we talk about silent heart attacks because, again, patients with diabetes, when their blood vessels clot up in their heart, sometimes they don't get that awful chest pain that people describe. You know, they don't have the, it's really painful and my arm hurts. They just don't feel well and something's not right. And so this again goes back to, you know, the conversation at the moment is that actually we can reverse diabetes with diet. I'm dieting. It's really hard. If you're over 50 like I am, it's really hard to lose weight. But there are very, very good studies now that show by modifying our diet, by losing weight, certainly type 2 diabetes, we can revert it back and change the way that our bodies manage sugar. So the more we can do that, the more we reduce the risk. And actually, there's a benefit for everyone, Peter, because, of course, if we are not using the health service to manage emergencies such as the foot attack, the heart attack, the stroke, actually imagine what that money could be used for within the National Health Service for so many other things that we need to do as well.
Don't need to imagine much at the moment what it needs to be used for. Wow. Okay. That's great. I'm on a diet as well, by the way. So
really hard.
Yeah, we'll talk off air in a minute. Okay. Before we say goodnight. So yeah, I think we're pretty much up on time, unless there's anything that you particularly think that I've not asked you or we've missed out. If there isn't anything, then just any last, well, I think you've pretty much given the last tips already throughout the whole thing.
Well, Peter, may I just re-emphasize what you said earlier, which is really, really important, that if you're a patient with or without diabetes and you're worried about your foot, all of us, I know all of us are on the same page here, that we would rather you came and asked and we said, actually, do you know what? We're not worried about it, rather than you didn't ask as a patient and actually found that actually even within 24, 48 hours, you run yourself into trouble. So if you're worried about your foot, ask for advice. And honestly, the NHS is open. I know we've got COVID. We're managing patients with COVID. We're managing them well. But actually, we can manage you as well. If you're a patient that needs healthcare treatment, the NHS is open. It's not shut.
Yeah, I was speaking to a vascular surgeon, interviewing him for my radio show a few months back, and I can't remember his name for the life of me. It's terrible. But anyway, he was sharing how over the lockdown, the number of heart attacks that presented went massively down, but the number of cardiac arrests went up because people were just leaving it until. So yeah, if you suspect something, go and get checked out. I'm getting my pen ready because I'm waiting to find out so I can put it in the comments later on for people. Any resources that you would recommend rather than just going to Dr. Google and Googling, you know, my cold blue foot or whatever it might be. Where's somewhere where people can go to if they are concerned or they just want to learn a little bit more?
So Diabetes UK have got some really, really good advice. NHS have some really good advice. There are actually some very good apps around at the minute to help you lose weight, to think about your lifestyle choice. There are so, so many. I think Diabetes UK are a very good signpost to then go in different directions. Your Undefeated is really important, because actually there's
you didn't
just
have
really
to say that, but thank you.
I know, but there is, because there's actually just some sensible conversation and advice which is really helpful. There are lots of local diabetic volunteer groups where there is peer-to-peer support, and they are very, very helpful as well. And your local peer groups, your local GPs, will hold the ring on. If there is something you need to know, there will be a leaflet or something they can give you for something that is more local. I mean, we're obviously doing this interview, you know, on virtual, on social media.
Yeah.
But actually, I think people are wanting to see people and get some physical advice as well. But you want to do it in a safe environment. So there are lots and lots of resources that you can find online. But of course, we've got people who don't use online. So if you've got, and you've tuned in because you've got a family member and you think, I just wanted to know what I could do. Do you know what? Go ask your GP, ask the diabetic nurse and say, what is around that I can actually get involved in? And there are so many things that you can do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Stella, for your time today. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And fascinating. We must meet up again sometime when covered in a mask and socially distanced and what have you. But thank you so much. And I'll let you go now for the rest of your evening and weekend.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm going to say bye-bye. Okay.
Thank you.
That was Stella Avig, the vascular and general consultant at Croydon University Hospital and the clinical director there. So thank you so much, Stella, for giving up your valuable time for this interview. We're going to play now a song. Stella said that ABBA was one of her favourite bands, and she let me choose the song. And as you heard earlier, I chose Knowing Me, Knowing You. And I do hope that you do get to know about the conditions that might be affecting you, and you know more personally about your own particular condition as well. That's why I chose this song. Anyway, hope you enjoy it. ABBA, Knowing Me, Knowing You.
Walking through an empty house.
That was ABBA, of course, and Knowing Me and Knowing You. I hope you enjoyed it. If you joined us during that song, then please do go back and listen to the interview. Fascinating interview with Dr. Stella Vig, who was a vascular surgeon and a clinical director of Croydon University Hospital. Very, very, very impressive interview it was too. So please go back and listen to it if you haven't already. Otherwise, that's me wrapped up for this week. I hope you have a fantastic time over the week and look forward to speaking with you again next time. Tell all your friends about us and join us next week. Well, that's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining me here on The Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say, have a fantastic week. Keep safe, keep those legs and feet moving, and don't forget to tune in again with your friends next week.